Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord and welcome. This is Amazing Grace, Extraordinary Truth Ministries, and I am your host, Elder Lydia Togba. It is so good to have you with me once again. Amen. As we continue to embark upon this journey through a year in the Word. You know, we live in a time where knowledge is readily accessible. We can just click a button on the internet. Many of us have access to computers. As a matter of fact, the majority of us, especially in the United States, have access to a computer one way or another, even if we have to go to a library to use it. We have access, and that is free access if we're going to a library. But we have access to the internet, and it enables us to gain knowledge of all kinds. We can ask it anything. We go to Google and say, what is? And it'll tell us. It'll tell us what it knows and what is contained on the World Wide Web. Amen. Even the Word of God is contained on there. But many still don't know what is contained in the pages of the Holy Bible, the written Word of God Almighty. Many still don't know what He has to say. And the wealth of restorative power that is to be gained from living by the precepts that are written within that book of instruction. Amen. We must be readers, hearers, and most of all, doers of the Word of God. I thank you once again for joining me in this journey through a year in the Word. Today, we are actually reading from Matthew 26 through 28 and 1 Corinthians 3 through 4. This is the Monday edition. I do apologize that I wasn't able to broadcast on Sunday. Amen. Things kind of got away from me in a way that I did not expect. From time to time, things will happen. And when they do, I am committed, amen, to bringing forth the Word of God, even if I have to double up on another day. And I know you have noticed that I've done that from time to time. Amen. We're in the third month of the year, and we have read through the Bible in these 3 months. Amen. And we're doing it in order of categories, not from Genesis through Revelation, but according to the categories of the Word of God. We're reading, amen, first through the Gospels, then through the letters, then we're reading books of poetry and books of history. Amen. And you'll see as we go forth, amen, and read through these categories of the Word of God every week, every weekday, we're in a different category. And I praise God even for the way that we're reading this, because I have gained so much myself, and I hope you have too. Glory to God. I'm praying for each and every one of you. Amen. That God continue to bless you and bless your life. I don't have to see your face or know your name to lift you up before God, because He sees your face and He knows your name. Amen. And you are special to Him. You were fearfully and wonderfully made by God with a purpose and an intent. Amen. None of us came into the earth without a purpose. None of us came into the earth and is not loved, amen, by our Creator. He loves us with an everlasting love, and He will not stop. Amen. He continues to love us in spite of us, in spite of the way we live ourselves, in spite of our misunderstanding His will and His way, in spite of our misunderstanding one another. He continues to love us, but He also has to correct us when we are wrong. Amen. And we'll see much of that correction in the Word of God. There are a lot of things, amen, in our reading that is difficult to hear and difficult to know and to understand. But I'm asking you to open your mind and your heart, and I'm asking God to help us to do that, because we need Him to help us to gain knowledge and wisdom and understanding of His Word. This is His Word. It is not ours. Amen. It is written for us, and for our admonition, for our learning, for our deliverance, for our salvation. But He is the writer. He used many men, amen, to write this word, but He wrote it, amen, by their hand, amen. And it is without error, and it's without mistakes. It is without, amen, man's opinion. This is the Word of God Almighty. Amen. And this is what we're embarking upon, the knowledge and the wisdom and understanding of His Word, so that when we transition into eternity, we might see Him in peace, because all will bow before Him, even if they did not acknowledge Him, even if they called, amen, Christianity foolishness, even if they call it a fantasy, even if they're calling us mentally ill. It doesn't matter what they say, because every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Even if they have to do it in sorrow, they will confess that Jesus is Lord. But the purpose of all is this, is so that you, my friend, and so that I will not have to confess that Jesus is Lord in sorrow. It is so that we will be introduced to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God, and so that He will be able to speak to us and direct us and redirect us and make us and remake us and mold us and put us on the potter's wheel to be reshaped into the form that He intended us to be in from the very beginning. Amen. That is my prayer, and that is what I believe God is doing in the midst of all of us. This is not a mistake that you are here, that you are listening. This is not a mistake that I am broadcasting this a year in the Word. Glory to God. Hold on and continue in this journey. Amen. Because God has great and mighty things for you in your life, in your path. Amen. He is lighting a path before you that you have not known and did not understand. Amen. But He is bringing forth that understanding to you even as we go forth through the Word, even as we go forth prayerfully, seeking God that He show us, that He not allow us to miss our destiny, that He not allow us to miss our purpose. We are looking forward, amen, to the breakthroughs that He is bringing us through even right now, and for every miracle that is in our path. I have spirit of expectation, not just for myself, but also for you, that God work a miracle in your life, that He lets you see without a shadow of a doubt that He is God. You know, there was a time in the history of the Word, that Pharaoh did not believe that Moses' God was God. But after the Lord moved mightily and brought the Israelites out of Egypt with His mighty hand, Pharaoh had to say it. There was no doubt about it that Moses is God. Is God. Amen. I'm asking the Lord to do the same for you, that you see that the God of the Christians, amen, the God that we lift up every day and give glory to, He is God. And there will be no doubt in your mind. I'm asking God that you not have to go through the drama that Pharaoh went through in order to bow his knee or his heart, to bow his heart to God, because he may not have received Him in his heart, but he sure enough, amen, was shown and it was proven that God is God. Amen. I'm asking blessing upon your life so that you don't have to go through the harsh circumstances that He did. He had to lose His firstborn in order to see that God is God. Amen. But I am declaring to you that He is God on today, and that Jesus is the Messiah, the Lord and Savior. And by Him, no man can come to the Father, only by Him. Amen. And Him I declare to you today, even as we read through the Word of God. This is a year in the Word. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come humbly before you, thanking and praising you, O God, as we always do. We submit ourselves unto you, Lord God, and we surrender our will even right now. Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you might wash us from every unclean thing that we've gathered up to ourselves as we walk through the Word, as we walk through the world, Lord God. Every unclean thing that we may have picked up in places, not even knowing, Lord God, that we have redressed ourselves. Oh, Lord God, but we stand naked before you, Lord God, and ask you, Lord God, to wash us, clothe us with righteousness, clothe us with truth, clothe us with holiness, clothe us, Lord God, with your Spirit, and lead us and guide us along the way. Oh, Lord God, those that don't know you today and those that are unsure, let your Spirit move in them from the top of their heads unto the soles of their feet, Lord God, and make a declaration in their hearts that you are Lord. Oh, Lord, you know how to show us without a shadow of a doubt that it is you. And it was you from the beginning, and it has been you all the time. And you have never left us, nor have you ever forsaken us. Oh, Lord God, but you have moved things out of the way, and you have reconstructed things, and you have set a path before each and every one of us so that we will know your righteousness and walk thereby. Help us, Lord God, to be that you called us to be from the very beginning. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, move in each and every one of us, Lord God, and let your spirit and your spirit alone, Lord God, lead us and guide us. Oh, Lord God, give us discernment, Lord God, even right now in the name of Jesus, to know the difference between good and evil, to know the difference between a lie and the truth, to know the difference between righteousness and unrighteousness, holiness and unholiness. Oh, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, move in us now. Father, I'm asking, even as we embark upon the reading of your word on today through Matthew 26 through 28 and 1 Corinthians 3 and 4, I'm asking, Lord God, that you bless each and every heart and each and every mind. Open our minds to receive and our hearts, Lord God, to understand your word, oh God, that we might walk thereby and be transformed by your word. Oh, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you today for this great salvation, Lord God. We give glory to you that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Oh, God, we give you glory that you are our salvation today. You are our strength. You are our keeper, Lord God. You are our provider. You are our great physician, and we give glory to you, honor to you, Lord God, because there is no other God, nobody, nowhere that has greater power. Oh, Lord God, there's only one creator and only one Lord, and we give you the glory and the praise and the honor. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. We're reading and we're hearing from Matthew 26 through 28 and 1 Corinthians 3 and 4. These are the chapters we're reading from the New King James Version of the Word of God, and we shall begin now. Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these things, that he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days it is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified." Then the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. But they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people." And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor." But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, the woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." Glory to God. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Now on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, "Where do you want us to prepare you to eat? Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, "Lord, is it I?" said, he who dips his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? He said to him, you have said it. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. Been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given him a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him. Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. All who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus? In that hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And those who had laid hold of Jesus, led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed at a distance to the high priest's courtyard, and he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none, even though many found none. But at last, two false witnesses came forward and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'" And the high priest arose and said to him, "Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?" But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, "I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus said to him, "It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look now, you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think?" They answered and said, "He is deserving of death." Then they spat in his face and beat him, and others struck him with the palm of their hands, saying, "Prophesy to us, Christ. Who is the one who struck you?" Of Galilee. But he denied it before all, saying, "I do not know what you are saying." And when he had gone out to the courtyard, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you are also one of them, for your speech betrays you." Then he began to curse and swear and saying, "I do not know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times." So he went out and wept bitterly. When morning came, all of the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? You see to it." Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury because they are a price of blood." And they consulted together and bought them a potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "And they took 30 pieces of silver, the value of him who was priced, whom they of the children of Israel priced, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me." Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said to him, "It is as you say." And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, "Have nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who you call Christ?" They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." Then the governor said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." Then Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising. tumult was rising. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just man. You see to it. And all the people answered and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then he released Barabbas to them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified. Now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, place of a skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it may be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over him there, and they put up over his head the accusation written against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and another on the left. They blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, This man is calling for Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised and coming out of the graves after his resurrection. And they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God. And many women who followed Jesus from Galilee ministered to him, were there looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and John, and the mother of Mary the mother of James and Jose, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. Now when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea, named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. and Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the tomb. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people he has risen from the dead, so that the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go your way. Make it as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. Day of the week began to dawn. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where Jesus lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. And as he went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice." So they came and they held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a great sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we sleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and they did as they were instructed. And this thing is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. For when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." I have read and you have heard from Matthew chapters 26 through 28. We now are going into 1 Corinthians 3 and 4. "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I feed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, we are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if build on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Anyone work which has built on it, if anyone's work which has built on it endures, he will receive reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will receive loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no one deceive you. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I know of nothing against myself. Yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God. Now, these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sake, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. For one who makes you differ from another, for who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? You are already full. You are already rich. You have reigned as kings without us. Indeed, I could wish you did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last, as men condemned to death. For we have been made a spectacle to the world, both angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise to Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. To the present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. And we labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we endure, being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now. I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. For this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you, but but I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. Kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and in a spirit of gentleness? I have read from 1 Corinthians chapters 3 and 4 and also from Matthew chapter 26 and 28. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers here and most of all the doers of his word and sanctify the truth in each and every one of our hearts. God bless you. God keep you. God anoint you. Amen. Until we meet again, I hope you will continue with me on this journey through a year in the Word. Amen.